This is Real Ghost Stories Online. It is our live edition of the program. And if you are watching us on Facebook, on YouTube Live, the phone number is there. 216-446-7810, the number to call in during our live broadcast. If you're listening to this on the podcast, well after the date that we're doing this, call in on our regular number to share your ghost story. But right now, 216-446-7810, if you're watching us live, to share your real ghost story with us. Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in now.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. 216-446-7810 to share your real ghost story with us. Would absolutely love to hear it. Maybe I'm going to use this computer, just my regular one. I'll just bring it in here every time. If you're just joining us on the podcast, this is a live edition of the show. Do it every single Wednesday afternoon at 4 o'clock Central Time. From what we call the local haunt. It's our setting here. It's the bar setting that we have set up for the program. Kind of creepy, kind of fun. I love it in here. And right before I come in here to do the show, I have a computer that I normally use for running the calls and everything else. And right as, of course, you know, I come in about 10, 15 minutes before the broadcast to make sure everything's up and running. If Windows decides it needs to do an update, hopefully it can get it done. And it would not, for the life of me, let me log into the darn computer. And so I'm sitting here with like 3 minutes before we're supposed to go live. So I just said, screw it. And I ran back to the studio, the main one that I normally do the show from, grabbed my main computer out of there, ripped it out of there, brought it in here, had to rehook everything up. And it's just one of those things where if it's going to go wrong, it's going to go wrong at that moment in time. I don't think I've ever been locked out of a computer, ever. Any of my computers, I'm pretty universal with a lot of that stuff. But I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I'm only really in this room, quite honestly, about once a week when we're doing this show. So I have no idea. Anyway, excited to hear your ghost stories today. 216-446-7810 is the phone number. I see we already have some calls on hold from 231 and 718. You guys hang on. We'll get to you in just a moment. First, I want to jump over to the first caller that called in even before we were live, eager to tell their story at area code 904. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, Tony. My name's Melissa. I'm calling from work, Daytona Beach, Florida.
Well, welcome to the program. Appreciate you calling in today and being so patient with me. You got a ghost story for us?
I do, although thank you for not turning me into a ghost, because when you answered earlier, you surprised me.
Well, I answered, and I was concerned that, number one, because the sound settings on these computers are, there's 42 settings you have to check now for input, output, and I was trying to do it on the fly, so you calling in early actually was a godsend to make sure that the darn thing worked and that you could hear me, so I didn't go live with this and, like, the caller couldn't hear me or something, so it all worked out well in the end. So, let's hear your story.
Okay. So I've actually written in a couple of times because I was one of the lucky souls who got to live in a haunted house.
All right.
And it was a mostly negative haunted house. There is like a portal in the closet. Things came and go, or came and went as they pleased. And how I kind of grew up with my grandmother was really into like little rituals and things like that and cleansing the house. And so then, after she passed away, no one was doing the weekly cleansing anymore, and then, you know, pretty much all hell broke loose. So, kind of in between this, and of course, like, I got to see everything that was going on and got to be the number one person to interact with all the entities and, you know, either get hurt by them or just get, you know, it was a great period of time growing up. But probably somewhere around in my teens, I got this great idea to like run this forum because there weren't that many places who, would, you know, talk about the supernatural or the paranormal. I couldn't talk about it to my mom. Even though like she was brought up the same way that my grandmother brought me up, she just didn't want anything to do with it. And even though she felt stuff in the house, she didn't want anything to do with it. Mm-hmm. So I didn't have anyone to talk to. I didn't really know where else to turn. So I kind of made this little forum. And it turns out there were a lot of people who had, you know, different ghost stories. So I would sort of interpret dreams and do like little tea leaf readings. And I was sort of a psychic and just could kind of pick up on different things. And this one person came up and he said, "Hey, you know, I keep having this dream all the time and I want to know what it means." I said, "Okay." So he tells me the dream. And the dream is, if I remember correctly, it was pretty simple. It was a train going through a tunnel, and it was really foggy, and, you know, it was a dark tunnel. It came out, and then it sort of went into this light. And most people, I would think, you know, hey, traveling or something like that. But for whatever reason, I kept feeling like someone was going to die. That was just my thought process, and I was like, that seems really odd. I had been doing, you know, this for a while. I had been doing the tea leaf readings, but I've never felt that way. And so I didn't really entirely trust it because it was just like, this is completely out of the bat. Mm-hmm. And so I asked him a couple questions, and I said, "Hey, you know, do you mind if I do a tea leaf reading for you?" And he says, no, you know, no problem. So I did that, and I got a similar answer. And I was like, oh, my God, what is going on? And so I kind of just, like, centered myself because at this point I'm super distraught about the fact that, one, I keep getting death, and two, like, I don't know this person. You can't just walk up to someone and be like, "Hey, by the way, I think somebody in your family is going to die," and then, like, leave, like, everything's going to be okay.
Sure.
Like, most sane people don't do that. So I kind of just centered myself, and I took, like, a couple hours to get back to him, and I got this vision of this woman, and she was, had like sort of short, almost shaggy brown hair, and she was in a hospital bed, and there's this other woman, and she was crying. And I asked him, I said, "Hey, you know, out of curiosity, do you know a woman who looks like, you know, short, shaggy brown hair, you know," and sort of went into a little bit more description. "And then do you also know a woman who might be kind of close to her that, you know, had dirty blonde hair, was shoulder length?" So on and so forth. He goes, "Yeah, actually my mom and my aunt." I said, "Oh, okay." And so I told him what I saw, and I said, "You know, I know that this is coming out of nowhere. I don't know you. I know it's a very strange thing to say. I understand if you don't believe me. I get it. I checked 20 million things because I didn't believe it myself, but I feel like your aunt is kind of going to die suddenly. Is she sick?" He said, "No. She's not sick at all." And I said, "Okay, well, if she becomes sick, let me know." So about a day later, I get another message from him, and she was sick. They weren't really sure what was wrong, and the aunt had gone into the hospital. And he was like, "How did you know?" I said, I don't really know how to answer that. I said, "It's a combination of, like, your dream, and then, you know, I went into all the other things I did." And he said, do you really feel like she's going to die?" And I was like, this is, like, that's really hard to answer, but yeah, that's what I saw. And I said, "As best as you can, your mom's going to take it the hardest. Are they really close?" And he said, "Yeah, actually they are." I said, "She's going to take it the hardest. If she does pass, you know, I really hope she doesn't, but if she does, she's going to take it the hardest." Mm-hmm. So 2 days later, he let me know that his aunt did pass. I think she passed from some sort of bacterial infection that had gotten spread throughout her body somehow. And it was like a really sudden sort of thing. And she didn't really take that much of, like, good care of herself to begin with, but it was incredibly sudden. Like, within 3 days, she was dead. And he said that... he didn't know how I had known, but he said, "Thank you," because he did tell his mother that, "Hey, I talked to this person, and this is what she said."
Yeah.
And he said that having the preparations actually, you know, the mindset preparations, if this did happen, actually did help both him and his mom. So that was my ghost story for today.
That's amazing. You know, where you're saying this to someone, I mean, and it's quite a, you know, a message to give. I mean, that can't be an easy one to be like,
yeah.
Hey, by the way, I don't really know your loved one, but I think they're probably going to die. Hey, by the way, did you hear McDonald's brought back the McRib? You know, it's just not exactly, you know, the normal conversation. But, you know, I certainly would be taking note. I'd be very disturbed, honestly, if somebody came up to me and said, hey, so-and-so loved one, you know, is, I don't know. I don't know why I'm telling you this. I somehow got this feeling. Yeah, that's, you know, not an easy thing to do, but, you know, it's kind of one of those things where you kind of file it away into everything happens for a reason. Some people have these gifts, some people don't, and, you know, sometimes the messages get passed and sometimes they don't. I don't know, honestly. I mean, I don't consider myself anyone with any sort of ability to convey those messages. It's not to say that maybe someday I'll get some really weird dream of something happening. But I honestly don't know that I would have the courage to say that to the person that I should probably say that to, like you did, just out of fear of, like, are they going to think I'm crazy? Or what if nothing happens? And then I'm just that person who gave them that horrible news. But you're not the first person who ever has shared a story like that on the show where it actually did do a lot of good the way that you described it. So thank you for calling in and being the first caller of the show. Even before we began, you actually really helped my day in that that moment of crisis of putting the show together. So, all right. You have a good one. Take care.
You too.
All right. Bye-bye. 216-446-7810 is our phone number. Caller at 231. Hang on. You will be next. First caller at 718 that dialed in. What's your name and where are you calling from?
My name is Jamie, and I'm from New York City.
All right, Jamie, welcome to the program. Let's hear your ghost story.
Thank you. Well, actually, I called in to a live episode a couple of months ago, and I spoke to you about inherited sensitivity that I got from my dad, and he actually called that same episode about his own experience.
I remember that.
Well, yeah, about the phone.
Yep.
About my mom that passed away and her phone making noise. Mm-hmm. Well, we both had our own separate experiences recently, completely separate. And I'm thinking they might be connected, but I don't know.
Okay.
I saw about a week and a half ago while sitting in my living room, hanging out with my friend, what I saw out the corner of my eye, what looked like a woman in what struck me as like scrubs, like a bluish purple, like that matching like shirt and pants type of scrubs with brown hair.
Okay.
I saw the back of her. She took two steps and was gone. My friends didn't seem to notice. They were hanging out and laughing as normal. Well, about, I'm going to say a week, less than a week later, I went somewhere and my dad was going to meet me. And he said he was walking down the street, walking down the sidewalk, and he saw from a distance a woman in about my height in a white shirt. And he thought it was me at first. He thought, like, you know, I was coming to meet him, but I wasn't wearing white that day. He said a car coming out of a parking lot, like, blocked his view of the woman. And then when the car left, the woman was gone. And he looked across the street, nothing. He looked in the parking lot. He didn't see anything, and he has no idea. So I'm like, well, are they connected? Is what I saw and what he saw connected somehow?
Sure.
So I want to know what you think. I thought that was strange that I saw a woman.
Mm-hmm. It does. Like, let me ask you this. Is there any connection here with the woman who looked like that? To any loved one that has passed?
Could be my mom, because my mom was my height. But from what I understand, I don't remember from my dad's description of her.
Okay.
The hair was too dark and too long for me on the person I saw.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting because that was kind of my first thought. I actually thought that's kind of where you were going with it, was that it then kind of resembled your mom or something that she might have been wearing. You know, there certainly seems to be some sort of connection there. I mean, the sheer coincidence that these two things happened so close to one another. As to who it is or why it is, I don't know. But it makes you wonder if there's some sort of, you know, it could be nothing that's, you know, negative or anything like that. It could just very well be some sort of guardian type spirit, some entity that's somehow being picked up and seen on both ends. And, you know, I think sometimes we have these ideas that sometimes, you know, yes, we're talking about supernatural things, but I think sometimes we equate them with having supernatural powers as well, where it's like, well, if you're on that side, you must be able to go and see two people at the same time simultaneously. And I'm thinking half the time it may be more difficult for them to get around than it is for the living, because I don't know
exactly
if it's as easy to jump on a bus or take an Uber or anything like that. It may be like, okay, I got to hoof it over here and I got to hoof it back over there if I'm going to keep an eye on these two. So as far as what or why, I have no idea. Your guess is honestly is probably as good as mine, but are they connected? I'd be leaning towards that.
And when I spoke to you last time, I mentioned that my dad had been in a car accident that he thinks he should have been way more hurt by as a result of, and you had mentioned, and we thought maybe it was like a past relative or someone helping him out. And I'm wondering, well, could those relatives, because he lost a lot of like aunts and uncles before he was born in the Holocaust. Okay. So could they or his grandparents who also died be like around sort of?
Sure.
You know, they helped him back then.
I certainly think that that is a possibility. I have a feeling it's going to be one of those things where you're looking at a photo album or something someday and you're going to be like, oh my God, that's it. That's the person.
Well, I didn't see the person's face. Sure. I only saw the back of them as they took two steps. So I never saw their face. So I wouldn't know. Yeah. But
I'm just wondering if you're going to, although you didn't see the face, I just wonder if you're going to get that feeling though, you know, just kind of that.
Maybe.
Like this would be possible that this could be that person. But thank you for calling in and sharing the story. I really
you're
do appreciate you dialing in today. 216-446-7810 is our phone number. Caller at 231. That is the Petoskey, Traverse City area, Cadillac of Michigan. Because I know that my cell phone number begins in those exact same area code. Where are you calling from? What's your name?
I'm Annie. You just helped me instant message. Was I say thank you because I figured my problem out, so thank you. But I'm calling from Bel Air, so not away from Traverse City.
Okay.
At all.
Well, what did you...
I have a lot of stories because my dad lived in a haunted house when he grew up.
Okay.
And I lived in one in Traverse City when I was like in my early 20s, but I kind of have one that's kind of personal. Well, my grandpa died in 1984 from a heart attack. Mm-hmm. And my grandma's 60th birthday was that year. So one of my Aunt Mary's friends decided, because she was a photographer, to take pictures for that event, for like the birthday gift to my grandma. Well, she took a lot of pictures, including one by the birthday cake and all this stuff. Well, about a week later, she runs into my aunt's office where she works and shows her this one picture, and it's a picture of the birthday cake and my grandpa's ghost by the birthday cake, and she also admits that she had a new clean roll of film, that it couldn't be like a superimposed picture of him.
Yeah.
So I don't know. My dad showed me. I've seen that picture personally myself, but I was too young at that time, but my dad said that it does look like my grandpa.
There's really no arguing with that, especially, you know, your new clean roll of film, you know, it is film. It's not digital. Those are some of the more interesting in ghost photography to me, especially if you can produce the negative or something, because it's, I mean, are there ways to make that? I guess, but it's, you know, that'd be a lot of work. Far, far more than Photoshop. Go ahead.
And they found it in, like, my grandma's now deceased, but they found it in a box of photos. Like, no one, when they were looking through her pictures, so it was, like, deep into photos. So it wasn't, like, something that someone had easy access to Photoshop, like, after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another thing.
No, that sounds like quite a photo, and it's neat that you have that, where it's something that kind of connects you to your loved one who had passed on, and they were there letting you know that they're still on that side. Where did you say you were calling from in northern Michigan?
Bel Air.
Bel Air. And how is fudgy season going up there this year?
I work at a grocery store. It is very, very busy.
Yeah.
So Travis City is almost impossible to drive through. Yeah. And the Phoenician Festival starts, I think, this week or next week. So that's going to be almost impossible to drive through Charlevoix coming up.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It's been really good. A lot of fun. Yeah. We've had a few 104-degree days.
Wow.
Which was, like, inside in the AC. But besides that, it's been a good summer.
Good. Well, it's good to hear. I've not made it up there this summer. We were there last summer. Actually, at about this time. I remember driving through Charlevoix, and it'd been a while since I'd been up there. But hope to get up there again one of these other summers. But good to hear. It's a good season for you guys. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
All right. 216-446-7810 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Caller at 517. I'm going to go to you here. In fact, I'm going to pick you up. But hang on for me, caller at 517. I just want to define what I said there, because I said the term fudgy. And that is a Northern Michigan term for the tourists who come in because of all the darn fudge. If you've ever been to Mackinac Island, Traverse City, Petoskey, Charlevoix, any of those areas, you will find fudge shops on almost every corner. And it just permeates the air. And tourists eat it up, and that's why they have it. Kilwins. If you've ever been to a Kilwins fudge shop at any tourist town or shopping center, originating out of Petoskey, Michigan. Great stuff, but that's what we'd call the tourists. So anyhow, just a little fun there. Phone lines, by the way, open 216-446-7810, 216-GHOST-10. If you want to get in after our caller here at 517, what is your name and where are you calling from?
My name is Amy, and I am from Southern Michigan.
Southern Michigan. It's Michigan Day here on the show. All right, Amy, let's hear your story.
Okay, I worked at a home that it was a house, but it had been turned into a domestic violence sexual assault shelter house, mm-hmm. and that's the capacity that I worked in it. And you could tell it was an old home just because, the style of it, basically, the style of the building. And where the office was, it must have been maybe a parlor or just an entryway, but there were doors that would go into the main part of the home. And where the desk was in the office, you could either, you could leave them open or you could shut them. And on third shift, we could sleep there, but somebody had to be there 24/7. Mm-hmm. So during the night shift, you would see, the residents would go to bed upstairs, but you would stay awake and do paperwork. And out of the corner of your eye, and it sounds so cliche, and I'm so sorry, but literally out of the corner of your eye, you would see this dark shape just sort of walk into the wall. The house was dark itself, and this is going to sound so weird too, because I don't know how to explain it any better, but the shape would be darker than the dark. More solid than the dark. I'm not sure how to explain it, but that's how you just see it.
You're not far off. We have a lot of people who, when they're describing a shadow figure, they don't know how to describe it as it's just the darkest dark you've ever seen, almost like a black hole, I guess, of just it's beyond the spectrum of what, we would normally see.
Yeah, I'm glad you understand, because I have no other way to explain it. So it would just walk into this wall. There's nothing there but a wall. So you would see that almost every shift. But then some of us had this brilliant idea, because it was such an old house and we kept seeing that shadow, to bring in a Ouija board on third shift, because we're just brilliant.
Great idea.
And I know it works out so well. So we were sitting around, none of us had done it before, because that's even better. So we had a candle lit and the mood was set, And so honestly, we were all had our fingers on the thingy, and somebody came through and said their name was Helen. Well, my aunt was murdered in 72. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, well, that's okay. All right. It's just Helen, whatever. It's somebody named Helen. So I didn't tell anything to the two girls with me, but I just said, what was your father's name? And it spelled out my grandfather's name. And I was like, okay, well, But when my Aunt Helen was killed, she was pregnant, and she had already named the baby Melissa. And so I had asked, what was your baby's name? I didn't say, that you're killer. I just, what was your baby's name? And it spelled out Melissa. And I'm like, okay, I'm done. Hands off, blew the candle out, walked out, done. but then later, probably a few months later, one of the people in the office had her book laying on the desk that she was reading, and she walked out, and it had closed. And she yelled at me about it. She was like, why did you close my book? I was like, I didn't. I'm in the other office. And so she opened it back up, and pretty soon she had to go back out again for another resident. And she came back, and it was closed again. So this happened three times. The fourth time, it flew across the room at the door she had just walked through. She opened the door back up and yelled at me. She's like, what is wrong with you? I didn't do it. I don't know if she really hit me or not. But then, probably a week later, I was there by myself, and there were no residents in the home. We had no residents at all. But we, like I said, we still have to be there 24/7. And I could distinctly hear on the other end of the home a woman just sobbing. Just like, it made me hurt for her. She was just sobbing so hard. But I was alone.
Yeah.
So I wasn't feeling as bad for her as I was for me, mm-hmm. to be completely honest with you. So I'm looking around the house, I'm like wandering through this house, and it's dark. You know, of course it's dark. This is how scary movies are made. So I'm trying to find this sound, and it keeps moving. I swear, it kept moving. I am not handicapped in like directionally challenged in this way. I couldn't find it. So it kept going for a little while, and I felt like I was standing underneath it at several points, but I couldn't identify where it was at. And so then probably 6 months later, the fire alarm is wired in. So it's not like the batteries go dead or anything. It's wired in, and if it goes off, the fire department comes. So it went off, and I couldn't shut it off by the keypad. I have the code. I knew the code. I was punching in the code 100 times, but it wouldn't shut off. And so the fire department came up, and they're like, okay, well, we'll look around. They couldn't find anything. I'm not even joking. They had to come up four times that day. Four times in probably like 4 hours, 4 or 5 hours. And we called the alarm people, and they came. I know they think I'm an idiot, but seriously, it wouldn't work for them either. So finally, probably a year later, a guy dropped off a donation. And I said, when it was raining, I was like, well, do you want to step into the office? And he goes, no, I'll just take it. I'm like, well, I can give you a receipt. And he goes, no, just take it. And I go, okay, it's getting weird. And he looked at me, he says, well, have you ever noticed anything weird here? And I'm like, have I? Pick one, the lady screaming at the client sleeping at 3 a.m, come out of her closet, and whatever, pick one. And he says, well, this used to be part of the state home, which was several buildings, and it was the farm. So people with mental illness lived there,
mm-hmm.
and many, many years ago.
Yeah.
And then I guess they turned it into a halfway house, and that's when he lived there. And he said that the room where that dark shadow was walking into used to be his bedroom. And he remembers the black shadow walking into his room.
Nah.
I was like, full circle. All right, I got it. No problem. Got this all figured out now. So I know that was a lot of stories into one, but this house was just super active, and I wanted to share all of that.
It seems like a lot of those buildings have just miles and miles of stories in them. A lot of the last couple episodes that I've done of the Grave Talks have been of structures that were what used to be referred to, and it's not a politically correct term by any means today, or socially correct, poor farms,
right.
is what they were called, mm-hmm. Back in that point in history. And many of them then, through the evolution of them, a lot of them became state hospitals or care facilities of some sort. And then if they still were surviving, if they still were somewhat standing, then they became group homes or care homes of some sort. The Garnett House Hotel has somewhat of that. That's actually a recent episode. It's actually up at the Grave Talks. It's not up at the Grave Talks yet. It's an advanced one for the Gravekeepers through Patreon. But that's going to be coming out August 20th, that episode of the Grave Talks, but is available now if somebody wants to hear it. Patreon.com/thegravetalks or thegravetalks.com for that link. There's so many of them that are like that. Hillview Manor, that one is up there, with similar type stories where that's the evolution. And there's just so much emotional energy in those buildings. It's amazing, and it's easy to understand why these things are going on there. Sometimes difficult though to pinpoint who it is or what time period it's coming from, because a lot of these places are so old and have so many basically generations of people who have gone through them.
Well, one of the residents had saw a woman walking down the hall with a really high neck, long sleeves, and long skirt.
Mm-hmm.
And she had tried to tell her, wow, you must be really hot.
Yeah.
And then she disappeared. So that kind of gives us an era of that we're working with.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thank you for calling in.
But, same thing. Well, same thing at Traverse City, the mental hospital up there.
We saw the same
stuff up there.
Yeah, that one, and they don't like to talk about anything. They decline. That is a place where they need to take, this is my opinion, they need to take a cue from some of the other facilities around the country that really are adding to the interest. I think you have far more interest than you do people being freaked out by of sharing some of the stories. Because that place, oh my God, the state hospital up there. The first time I went there, it was nowhere near what it is today, where it's the commons and they have shopping and everything.
Yeah, definitely.
The first time I went there, it was literally at the beginning phases. Somebody decided to put a restaurant in the basement. And I got to say, it was one of the most disturbing nights I've ever had at a restaurant, because it was a higher end restaurant. But literally, we were sitting there at a table where there were what looked to be the base plate for like shackles or something on the limestone wall. And it was like, this is delicious foie gras, but holy shit, I think somebody probably spent 30 years of their life chained to this wall. Do we have any extra butter?
It does feel that way.
Yeah, it was awkward. But, it's one of those things where you can respectfully tell the history. You don't have to get like super ghosty about it, but there's certainly stuff there.
Agree.
Yeah, there's certainly stuff there. And I think maybe in time, I don't know, but I know they like to not speak of it. And I don't think I would be
ask.
As an older, and I know like part of it's like they've revived part of it is like an older or an elder care facility.
I
guess me, as an older person would love it, but I don't know. I think it would totally screw with a lot of people as well.
I was thinking of the Sundowners. Like, the Sundowners would be thoroughly screwed up with this.
It would just be, I don't know. I mean, I have no idea. I'm not saying anything's happening there. I don't know. I really don't have any stories because they don't talk about it. But, quite a place. Quite a place to visit if you're ever up there.
Yes.
Thank you for calling in and sharing that this afternoon.
Thank you.
All right, have a good one. 216-GHOST-10. 216-GHOST-10 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your story with us live this afternoon. Caller at 765. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, I'm from Frankfort, Indiana.
All right.
It's probably 20 minutes south of Lafayette. So.
Okay.
But I never been really one to be freaked out by ghosts or anything. Actually, like, me and brother, like, we try to attract ghosts and, like, try to get scared and stuff, but never really worked until probably about a month ago. Probably about 10 minutes past my house is a place the locals call Sleepy Hollow.
Okay.
It's a bridge kind of out in the middle of nowhere, and the story goes that a school bus of kids wrecked there one time, and all the kids died, and the driver and stuff. But that's what the story goes. So they say if you go and park on the bridge, put your car in neutral and
it moves.
Flash your lights three times, then it'll technically roll.
Sure.
And there's no hill. It'll roll. And so we've been there a couple times, and it's worked. And it's really freaky. But so probably a month ago, my coworkers, they're like, dude, let's go check that out. I've never been there before. So I was like, oh, yeah, you need to see that. This is pretty cool. So we go, and it's my buddy and a friend. She's really scared of ghost stuff and all that. So we then decided that we're going to try to make it as scary as possible, you know, so we can freak her out and stuff. So we went there, and it's about dusk. And so I stopped and put my car in neutral, flashed lights three times. And by this time, she was already really scared and, you know, begging us to stop and stuff. But so I put my car in neutral, and it's supposed to roll, but I can't get it to roll this time, which I've been here four or five times, and each time I've been here, it's rolled, and it couldn't do it this time. My buddy, he's like, dude, are you sure your car's in neutral? I was like, yeah, I can't get it to roll. And so, knowing me, I can be a goof-off. So I pretended I had just died, like I had a heart attack or something. I kind of slumped over my steering wheel, you know, to try to scare my friend. And honestly, I never have played I was dead so real before. Like, so for some reason, it came really easy. Like, I could do it with no problem. I felt like I was not really in my body, and my buddy, he's an EMT, so he kind of got freaked out. He's like, dude, are you all right? Are you there? And my friend, she was like, kind of starting to scream and stuff. And then right when I got up, like, to show that I wasn't actually dead, I was kind of joking. Right when I got up, my car lurched and started rolling backwards at, like, probably 10, 15 miles per hour. It was probably the most creepiest thing because it went from sitting neutral, I didn't have my foot on the brake, to rolling backwards, like 15 miles per hour, right when I got up from playing I was dead. And that was enough to freak out all of us. I mean, we were done.
I
was freaky.
So.
And so we got out of there pretty fast.
and the thing is, every area has a urban legend of that nature.
Yeah.
It's not unique to where you're at. You think it's unique to where you're at when you're a teenager. Although maybe it's because, you know, maybe we're talking pre-internet days for a lot of us where you couldn't debunk these things within 2 minutes. But the thing is, when you have places like that, you have to wonder, what is the original story? What actually did happen? Where is this trace back to? And
well, there's a couple of local stories. Like, no one really knows which one's actually real. But they ever know that something did happen there at one time. But
sure.
Because, like, there's people spray paint home and stuff on it, and you know, they throw liquor down the banks and stuff, you know, to kind of call the ghost back. I mean, they know something did happen there, but they have four or five stories. They don't know which one actually was real happening.
And that's part of it, too, where when you have locations like that, you have people who don't really know what they're doing, performing ritualistic things at those sites where maybe, you know, nothing was going to happen there, but it's more so because of the stories and because of the legends that then things occur because they were conjured up at that very site after the fact. But that's interesting. You have a very unique version of that story as opposed to the one that everyone else has, where essentially it's kind of an optical illusion where you feel like you're, you know, uphill or at an incline, and it's just you know, geography.
I'm personally one to not believe in anything. Like, I'm really on the leery side. So I'm like, well, that didn't happen. Let me get out and look at the hill, see if it really is rolling because of that or something. And I don't believe anything. So I got in a fight one time with a ghost doctor guy because I really don't believe in ghosts. But until then, I was for sure this place was, you know, a hoax. But that really kind of kind of made me wonder. But there,
yeah, when it does start defying the physics of what, you know, the slow roll should be, then you have to wonder, maybe there is something else to this story. Thank you for taking the time to call in this afternoon and sharing that with us. I really, really do appreciate it. Phone number is 216-446-7810, 216-GHOST-10 to share your real ghost story with us. And if you have any questions, by the way, I know we are 7 minutes a day normally, right, trying to answer some questions. Feel free to throw them out there in the comment section, and I'll do my best to answer them as I see them. Jacob is commenting here. Said he used to do some urban exploring on the grounds of the what was the Traverse City State Hospital back in the day. We were just talking about that. And that's disturbing what you said, child-size shackles. If you're curious about what this building looks like, Google it. I believe it's called Traverse City Commons today. And really, I give them a lot of credit. They've revived an old building that probably otherwise would have been torn down. And I have no stories of hauntings of it. But if you're to look at a building and go, that looks haunted, it would be one of them. A very gothic structure, limestone, huge, several of them. It's a complex. Underground tunnels, whole nine yards. Very neat place. The shackle thing was something I couldn't get over when I was having dinner there. Gosh, it's probably like 15 years ago now. We got a caller at 931. You hang on the line. We'll get to you next. First, let's go to a caller at 916. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, my name is Nina, and I'm calling from California.
All right, let's hear your ghost story, Nina.
Okay, so I tried sending this in a couple of times, but I kept messing up with the email, so it keeps sending it back to me. So I figured I'd just call in. So this happened to me in September of last year. I went camping with a couple of my friends, and so we went for the weekend. There were four of us total, and so the first night went well. There's nothing happened, and then so the second night, a couple of my friends went to bed early, so there's only about two of us left. And we were sitting around the campfire just talking, and I needed to go use the restroom. And there was a restroom by us, but I didn't feel like walking all the way over there. It was getting dark, and I was a little creeped out. I mean, just in general, because it was dark, I figured I'm just going to squat behind the bushes. And so I did. And I was facing the campsite where my friend was sitting, and behind me was where the two toilets were. And so when I was squatting there, I was about done, and all of a sudden I just had a really weird feeling like something was behind me. I don't know. I just felt like I was being watched. Mm-hmm. So, and I didn't feel that at all the whole time we were there. And so I, you know, hurried up and went back to my friend, and not too long after that, we went to sleep. So there was, like I said, there was four of us. So me and my female friend, we shared a tent. And then the two guys, they had their separate tents. So my friend and I, you know, she went to bed before me. So I tried to go to sleep that night. And for whatever reason, I had a really hard time sleeping. I just had this really bad, I don't know, anxiety, like something wasn't right. And so eventually, I was in and out of sleep, and while I was in and out of sleep, I kept, I don't know if you want to call it a dream or vision, but I kept seeing this girl, and she was around our campsite. So we were kind of by the entrance to the campground, and from what I saw of her, she was standing at the entrance, and she was staring towards my tent with my friend. And I woke up, and to me, I was like, okay, whoa, that was a creepy dream, and it seemed really realistic. So I just figured, okay, you know, try to go back to sleep, which, you know, like I said, I was in and out the whole time. And as I was falling asleep, I kept seeing her again. And it was almost like she was coming closer, closer to the tent. And, you know, the next time I woke up was because my friend, she had gone to the bathroom, and I think it was around 2 a.m. I had my phone on me, so I was able to see the time. And I heard her coming back in the bathroom, and she had a little chihuahua with her too. So I heard her and the dog coming in. But it was late, and so I didn't feel like, you know, talking to her. We didn't say much to each other. But I heard her come back in, and she went to her mattress. And I heard her tossing and turning a few times. And so I didn't think much of it. I was going to say something, but I was like, no, I'll just try to not bother her. So we went back to sleep again. Mm-hmm. And the next morning when we woke up, it was time to go. So we packed, and everyone was pretty tired. So, you know, there was not much conversation. So we just packed up our stuff, and then we headed home. And she and I, we drove up together. So we were driving home, and we didn't say much for the first few minutes. And later on, she apologized. She was like, oh, I'm sorry if I woke you up last night. I was like, oh, no, it's not a big deal. And so she was like, yeah, I felt kind of nervous when I was coming back from the restroom. And I was like, oh, that's weird. I'm like, why'd you feel nervous? And she's like, oh, I don't know. I just felt like I wanted to rush back. Like, I don't know. I just didn't feel right. I'm like, oh, okay. And I didn't say anything to her. And she continued on, and she said, yeah, I came back to, you know, to sleep, and I couldn't sleep. Like, I kept, like, seeing this girl. And I'm like, what? Like that? I was like, what do you mean, the girl? And she's like, yeah, I kept envisioning this girl. Like, I don't know if it's, I was dreaming it, but she was like standing outside our camp, and she was describing this girl the way I saw her. And she said she was wearing like a white dress. She had dark hair that was covering a part of her face, and that just gave me goosebumps when she told me that. And so I was like, whoa, like. I thought I was dreaming this whole time. And so I just want your opinion. What do you think? Do you think we both happen to have the same dream, or do you think it's paranormal?
I don't think anyone happens to have the same dream. I don't think that's a thing. You know, it's one of those things where it's like, you think, you know, we just happen to dream the same thing at the same time. No, because that doesn't happen.
Right.
But, you know, it's one of those things where you kind of, you try and find explanation, you try and find reason that's not scary, that's not frightening. Mm-hmm. You know, what is it? I don't know. You know, the only thing I could, you know, and this, it's all opinion based as anything would be on this topic, but, you know, I don't know if it's someone trying to get a message across, someone trying to communicate, someone trying to... you know, connect some dots, or help you guys connect some dots to get said message across. What that message is, I have no idea. But I think it's one of those things. I mean, how long ago did this happen?
This happened in September of last year.
Okay, so not that long ago. You know, yeah. It's one of those things I would just say kind of be vigilant on. See if more happens. See if any more comes to you. If you have anything like this in a dream, reach out to your friend again and say, hey, just curious. Are we dreaming the same stuff again? And just see, because that may be the dots being connected of not just someone having a weird dream, but the fact that they're correlated amongst two different people. Just be in communication on that and see where that leads you, because I could see this kind of being, you know, sometimes these are kind of drawn out things and you don't really know the full picture until it's, it's done.
Yeah. I mean, I've had dreams like that before where I guess I consider myself a sensitive, but my friend, she's really not. So that I just thought was really odd that we just happened to have that same visualize of that girl.
Yeah.
And I felt like that girl did come to me in a way where she wanted help. And I was scared and I didn't want to be bothered. I mean, I just really wanted her to go away. Each time I saw her, I was just, I kept hoping like, please go away. Like I don't know what you want.
It's probably beyond your control of whether or not there's going to be a visit or not. It's just one of those things. Just keep in mind. I mean, just, I would say, like I said, keep in communication about that. Keep those lines open. I mean, it's an uncomfortable, weird thing to talk about, but there may be, the story may not be over yet.
All right. Well, thank you.
There you go. Happy day. All right. Thank you for calling in. 216-446-7810. 216-GHOST-10 is our phone number. Please, by the way, I mentioned at the top of the show, press share on this, and I'm going to pick somebody again today to win an autographed copy of the book. I will send it out to you. I'll pick someone at random who pressed share on this on one of the social media channels and get that out to you, and I'll notify you directly. Please do press share. It helps other folks know that we are doing this thing live so they can participate. Do greatly appreciate that. And by the way, to our YouTube folks, because we're streaming on Facebook on this camera right here, and we're streaming on YouTube on that camera. The Facebook camera actually has the direct mic hookup, so they can hear a lot better on Facebook. So if you're watching on YouTube and you're going, the sound's not super, your better bet would actually be the Facebook stream of it, because that's where the mic's hooked into. That's where more people tend to watch it. But I do like going up to YouTube as well, because I know a lot of you guys are very loyal to that. I can only plug the sound into one of the options, and it currently is Facebook. So, by the way, that's if you want better audio on this live stream, that would be the way to do it, is to watch it through Facebook. Okay, probably our last call of the day at 931. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, I'm Molly Lucchese. Oops. Sorry, said my last name. I'm calling from Nashville, Tennessee. I'm the one who sent you guys the little engraved plate. I don't know if you got
them. Yes, I love them. It says dead cat. And, yes, I love it. I love it. I love
and
it.
And squirrel.
And squirrel.
With an exclamation point.
I do. And I have a question for you about Nashville once you're done with your story, but let's go to your story first.
Okay. I don't know if you read the story that I included, and if you didn't, like, whatever, that's fine.
I haven't read it on the air yet, I don't believe, but I did. I did see it.
Okay, that's fine. Okay, I'll tell that one then. So I have been kind of believed that I was sensitive my entire life, but I never really wanted to admit that, or I didn't want to experience anything. I was like, I know that if, you know, I allowed myself to see something, I would see something. Mm-hmm. So I just kind of, I had these experiences growing up in Memphis, Tennessee, where I did theater camp for years and years and saw a bunch of, like, you know, theater ghosts are a very common thing. And I had this one year where I was, like, paranoid, probably because I watched too many scary movies with my cousin who was a little bit older, and she scarred me for life, essentially. So I was just always afraid. My worst fear had always been being a shadow person. Mm-hmm. So I am, like, years later, I've never believed in ghosts and never really, like, had any kind of really, you know, solid, obvious experience. So not until I got engaged to my husband, my now husband, we moved in together before we got engaged, and we were in a brand new house in Spring Hill, which is just south of Franklin, south of Nashville. So we're sitting and the TV's kind of diagonal facing to the couch. And then there's a little cut through room. There's two rooms, two doorways that you can see through while you're sitting on the couch. One's the kitchen and one's the office/garage door area where you come in from the garage. But those two rooms connect, but you can't see where they connect behind a wall. So we're watching TV and we're just watching Daredevil on Netflix. It's not a scary show. There's nothing scary happening. And I've been known to watch too many ghost shows and get freaked out and then have to watch SpongeBob afterwards to, like, calm myself down and not freak out.
Sure.
So we're just at a point in the show where they're just driving. There's nothing is weird. Nothing is happening. And all the lights in my house are turned off. Literally every single one of them. It's nighttime outside. There are no lights. You cannot see anything but the TV and maybe a little bit of the window behind, in the office, like at the very, like, it's at the end of the wall. But there's no light coming through. You can just only see, you know, what their TV is reflecting. So at this point in the show, Jared is sitting to my right. I am on his left. We are kind of, you know, we have the diagonal facing TV and the doorway is directly in front of us. So at the same exact time, and he's not a believer in ghosts. Not at all. He was so skeptical, so much so that he would dismiss all my, like, weird, like, oh, what if this is going to happen? Like, he was not into it, did not know that this could happen. We both turn and look at the same time through the door into the office. to watch a 6 to 7 foot tall black shadow walk towards the kitchen area. And it kind of had its head turned. Like, that's all I could really tell. There was no facial features. I didn't see anything like that. But we both looked at the same time. And we were like, is his brother home? Because we lived with his brother at the time.
Yeah.
And his brother's only 5'8". He's not that tall. So the only reason I knew that we were dead silent, the only reason I knew Jared saw it too, was because I saw him reach for his phone and flip on his flashlight.
Yeah.
And given, like, this was my worst fear. And I knew no one was in the house. I knew for a fact, because I was like, there's no way. So he goes in there, and I'm still petrified. I am frozen on the couch, cannot move. And he's, like, looking for the thing. And I'm like, it's not a person. You don't need to find it. Like, don't go looking for it. And so he comes around and loops around to the other doorway. And I see him come through, and all the lights are on. And he's, like, still looking, and there's obviously no one there. I just start bawling. I'm screaming. I'm crying. I'm freaking out because I'm like, this has been my worst fear since I was like 4 years old. This is horrible. But we hashed it over, and he, like, we didn't say anything about it. We just kind of, for the rest of the night, we were like, okay, what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? And then he said, just to confirm, we saw a 6 foot tall black figure walk through. And I go, yeah, from the garage door to the kitchen. He's like, yep. And I was like, okay, that's great. So we put oil on all the doorways and, like, salted the outside of the house around the perimeter and everything. And what we kind of believe is that we were kind of exposed to something mm-hmm. that it doesn't, I don't think it lives there. I don't think it resides there. I've never gotten vibes in that house. No one's ever lived there. We're not really on any kind of specific battleground or anything. Because, I mean, Nashville's very Civil War oriented.
Sure.
There's everywhere's battlefield, basically. But not particularly on this land. So we think that maybe, like, the veil was lifted, essentially. And we were, in that moment in time, we were able to see something that was not normally there. So...
Yeah.
That's my story.
That's a good story.
And I mean, that's all that
it's one of those, one of those things where sometimes I think that happens where it's not even aware that you're seeing it. It's just, you happen to catch it. It's going, it's weird. It's disturbing. It's scary. But I think sometimes it's more so they're just more surprised that you're even catching them, than vice versa. So yeah, good story. Thank you for sharing that. It was really cool to hear it from you, from your own voice. And thank you for those plates.
Yes.
I do love them.
No problem.
The dead cat and squirrel. I love those. But my question for you now, before we disconnect, I love hot chicken.
Yes.
Nashville hot chicken. And the only place you can really find it outside of Nashville is like KFC. So my dumb, not ghost related question for you is, A, have you tried the KFC version? And B, how does it compare to the real stuff?
I have not tried it, but literally, let me tell you what the closest thing to, like, let's say the only hot chicken I've really, like, true hot chicken I've had is has been Hattie B's.
Okay.
And Hattie B's is extending into a chain.
Mm-hmm.
So they're kind of, like, they just put one in Memphis right next to my old house. So, like, it's literally in the parking lot of my old house. So... it's kind of a little bit more branchy, outy, like, but, you know, the closest I've ever come to Hattie B's, mm-hmm. at least spice-wise, is the spicy chicken sandwich from Chick-fil-A. That
really?
Is literally as close as it gets, because it's got the pickles, it's got the bun, it's got the butter on the bread,
sure.
and the spices are very similar. The difference with Hattie B's, though, and probably KFC, I'm assuming KFC probably just puts it in their batter. The spices, Hattie B's and other places like that, they do melted spices, which they literally just toast the crap out of the spice and they put it in the oil and then they toss the already fried.
That's what makes it amazing is getting the greasy. I mean, it's horrible. I mean, we do not in here.
Oh, it's terrible. Yeah.
In Branson, we don't have a KFC for whatever reason. But the other night, Jen was up in Springfield where they do have one, and she was shopping with the kids, and I said, on the way back home, could you stop at the KFC and just get a whole bunch of hot chicken? It's like, that just sounds really good. And I was sore the whole next day. I was just, It was almost I'd run a marathon or something. I'm just like, oh God.
What it's did like I... built up in your system. Like yeah. Your blood cells, if you zoomed in on them, it's just little tiny pieces of chicken. Yeah, I know. I feel that.
Your body is saying.
Death, so I get it.
It's like, there's something in you that shouldn't be here. And, it's good stuff though. So anyway, we were in Nashville That's earlier hysterical. This summer. We were driving through and we just ended up staying there for the night as we were going down to the Galveston area. And I was trying my darndest to get like one of the Uber Eats to like get hot chicken, but like everything was closed. It was 10 wow. o'clock at night and I couldn't, anyway, enough talk about hot chicken on the ghost show, but it is ghostly because it does come back when you least expect it. So
yeah, there it you comes go. Back to haunt you it all does the come time. Back to haunt you.
All right. Thank you for calling in and sharing that story with us.
All right, thanks. All right,
you have
Talk
a good
to you guys
one.
Later. Bye.
All right, bye-bye. All right, that's going to wrap up our program for today. Thank you guys for watching. Thank you guys for tuning into the podcast. Greatly appreciate it. By the way, if you're watching this live today, brand new Grave Talks episode. I've done literally putting up a new one almost every single day this week for our Gravekeepers. That's the equivalent to EPP for the Grave Talks. Advanced episodes. Gravekeepers get those as I make them. There's about five of them that are not released yet, but they're all up there for Gravekeepers at patreon.com/thegravetalks. So go to thegravetalks.com and you can get the link there. Bobby Mackey's Music World is the interview I did today. And it is interesting, really in-depth through the official people who do the tours through Bobby Mackey's and what's going on there. If you want to hear it, it's up. It'll be released, I believe, August 27th, I believe, is the date it'll go live for free. But if you want to hear it in advance and get the bonus segment that only Gravekeepers get, go to thegravetalks.com, click on the link, or go to patreon.com/thegravetalks to support that program. That's our other program. I know we've talked about Bobby Mackey's a lot on this show, so I thought I would share, but it is up and ready for you to enjoy. All right, that wraps up today's program of Real Ghost Stories Online. Thank you guys again. If you like this show, support us, keep us on the air, get all the EPP bonus episodes. Ghostpodcast.com is where you go for that. And you can get access to everything, a way to support us through Patreon as well. That link is there, ghostpodcast.com. Find it all and keep Real Ghost Stories Online live. All right, until next time, thank you guys for listening to another episode and being with us for a live episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Have a good one.